This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Teresa Wills. As we get down to the last few days of the legislative session, a number of hot button issues are still on the agenda for and up for discussion.
At this time, it's not the right time to be talking about cutting unemployment benefits when we're hearing about layoffs and job loss in the Northern Panhandle.
That story and more coming up this West Virginia Morning. Support for West Virginia Morning is proudly provided by Luke Frazier. Advocates gathered under the Capitol Dome Monday to educate lawmakers about the prevention of addictions and mental health struggles. Emily Rice has the story.
Organizations from across the state spent Monday morning manning tables throughout the rotunda, educating the public and lawmakers about their prevention efforts against many issues, from gambling to tobacco use. Debbie Goff with Putnam Students Against Destructive Decisions, or SAD, said her student-led organization chooses which issues to address in their community.
We come into the community, we do a lot of educating students. It's student-led, so that students actually decide what issues they want to tackle the most. Right now it's mental health and vaping.
Goff said she hopes the education SAD provides its participants will arm them in making decisions in the future. For Appalachia Health News, I'm Emily Rice in Charleston.
Appalachia Health News is a project of West Virginia Public Broadcasting with support from Marshall Health. Last month, West Virginia's state revenue was tens of millions of dollars below prior estimates. Jack Walker has more.
This February, West Virginia state revenue fell nearly 10% lower than anticipated. The state revenue is totaled from taxes, fees, and service charges. That figure was more than $30 million shy of monthly estimates going into February. Despite the shortfall, the state's revenue remains ahead of projections for fiscal year 2024 as a whole. Since the start of the 2024 fiscal year in July, the state has collected more than $3.5 billion, which is nearly 14% higher than initial projections for the fiscal year. In a press release Monday, Governor Jim Justice suggested that the shortfall was due to residents' collection of personal income tax credits in February. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Jack Walker in Shepherdstown.
Applications are now open for new families seeking to receive the HOPE Scholarship for the 2024-2025 school year. Eric Douglas has more.
The online application process for new families in the HOPE Scholarship Program opened last Friday online. The deadline to receive 100% of the funding for next year is June 15th. The HOPE Scholarship Program is an education savings account program available for kindergarten through 12th grade students. Last year, the board received more than 6,300 applications during the initial enrollment period. In December, board members approved a new year-round application model that will allow families to apply for the program throughout the school year. It features prorated scholarship award amounts depending on when they apply. Award amounts vary depending on the amount of state aid funding for public school students. The scholarship amount for the 2024-25 school year will be slightly less than $5,000. Applications are available online at hopescholarshipwv.com. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Eric Douglas in Charleston.
The Senate passed a bill to update laws on critical infrastructure and increase fines for trespassing in those areas. Brianna Heaney has more.
In West Virginia code, critical infrastructure is considered things like steel and chemical factories, power plants, airports, and healthcare facilities. House Bill 5091, or the West Virginia Critical Infrastructure Protection Act, drastically increases fines. For example, there is an increase in the maximum fine for tampering with, damaging, or destroying infrastructure from $5,000 to $100,000. The bill also removes the need for a fence or sign around the infrastructure for a trespassing violation. Opponents of the bill, like non-for-profit law firms that represent protesters, say laws like this are aimed at creating steep consequences for protesters of fossil fuel projects. The bill heads back to the House for consideration. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Brianna Heaney in Charleston.
Euthanasia, or medically assisted suicide, is already illegal in the state. Now, Jack Walker reports that a legislative resolution aims to reaffirm that stance.
Euthanasia, or medically assisted suicide, is already illegal in the state. Now, a legislative resolution aims to reaffirm that stance. House Joint Resolution 28 was passed in the House of Delegates last month. With both chambers' support, the resolution would allow residents to vote to add protection from euthanasia to the state constitution during this fall's general election. But some lawmakers expressed concern over outright condemning euthanasia. Senator Mike Caputo, a Democrat from Marion County, said he wished his father-in-law could have considered the medical practice during his hospice care.
He could have made this decision to end it earlier. He would have done that.
Ultimately, the committee voted in favor of the resolution, sending it to the Senate floor with a recommendation that it pass. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Jack Walker in Shepherdstown.
The West Virginia Department of Transportation responded to an overturned truck on the West Virginia Turnpike that spilled a glue-like substance. The crash happened Sunday afternoon near the 64-mile marker in the northbound lanes. The tractor-trailer was hauling more than 17,000 gallons of material. It landed on its side in the left northbound lane, sending debris into the southbound lanes. Two vehicles traveling southbound hit some of the debris, the department said. The truck's driver experienced minor injuries. The West Virginia Department of Environmental Protection monitored the cleanup to ensure none of the glue-like substance spilled into Paint Creek. None did, the department reported. This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Teresa Wills. It's 7:50. Rain and clouds in the eastern panhandle, otherwise mostly sunny today. High temperatures in the 60s and 70s. A chance of rain tonight, lows in the 40s and 50s. Rain tomorrow with highs in the 50s and 60s. Support for WVPB is provided by Wells Home Furnishings, featuring American-made outdoor furniture, including Lloyd Flanders, Telescope, and Wild Ridge. Event going on until March 30th. Learn more at wellshome.com. As we enter the last week of the legislative session, we decided to check in with party leaders to see how they feel about the session and whether or not they met their priorities from before things got started. Randy Yowie spoke with Delegate Mike Pushkin, a Democrat from Kanawha County. We invited Republican House leaders to join in the discussion, but none were available.
We wanted to talk to members of both on the House side, the Democratic and Republican Party, to see how they feel about some of these lightning rod issue bills. And with me right now is Delegate Mike Pushkin, a Democrat from Kanawha County, also the chair of the West Virginia Democratic Party. Thanks for being here. We hope to have Marty Gearhart with us, Delegate Marty Gearhart from Mercer County, who is the majority whip. He can't be here right now because he's in the middle of a committee talking heavily about the unemployment bill, which basically lowers the amount of unemployment safety net over time, and it has some clients do more searching for jobs. I think those are two of the highlights, Delegate. What are your thoughts on this unemployment bill?
I would much rather the majority whip, Delegate Gearhart, to be down here with us talking than up there working on what he's working on, because I don't think it's a good idea, and I think it's going to hurt a lot of West Virginians. At this time, it's not the right time to be talking about cutting unemployment benefits, and we're hearing about layoffs and job loss in the Northern Panhandle at Cleveland Cliffs at their facility, and also more recently at Allegheny Wood Products. You know, we're getting this really bad news about job layoffs and job loss, and the Republicans are adding insult to injury by up there working on cutting unemployment benefits when we know that the fund right now is solvent. Unemployment's the fund's doing fine right now in West Virginia. There's no reason for this bill at this time. So I'd much rather Delegate Gearhart be down here with us than up there.
I guess I could be a bad idea. I could be a devil's advocate on one part of it, because I remember interviewing Scott Adkins, the director of Workforce West Virginia, talking about people that weren't really looking for unemployment the way they should. It not going out every 2 weeks for four or five interviews like they should to earn their unemployment, but sometimes just coming back with one or two. So they're asking them to do more. Does that sound fair?
Like right now across the country, unemployment's at an all-time low. It has been for quite some time. And there is work out there. I think that this is the wrong time for this particular bill. And he said that, you know, if we had this upcoming recession and there was more of a demand put on it, then there could be a problem. We haven't seen anything like that really in like 40 years. I don't think we're in danger of that. The fund is solvent, and it's the wrong time to be talking about kicking people off when we're getting all sorts of bad news about job loss in this state.
Well, I know that they've been up hashing this one out for quite a while, yeah. So there's some contention there. We'll see what happens. The bill about arming teachers, if you will, letting teachers be school protection officers. They can carry a concealed weapon, a stun gun, or a taser. There was an amendment to this bill, I thought, that twisted a little bit the initial reasoning for it when it came to counties being able to opt in or opt out. Your thoughts?
First of all, West Virginia has a whole lot of pressing issues. We just talked about some of the job loss in the northern part of the state. We have a foster care crisis. We're in a child care desert. People can't get back to work because they're unable to find care for their children. We have not enough teachers in the classroom. We don't have enough correctional officers in our jails and prisons. Yet what the Republican supermajority wants to focus on are bills like arming teachers. And we're not hearing a huge public outcry from people who want to, calling for this bill. We definitely didn't hear from it from the teachers. I think it's a very misguided bill. The amendment, you're right, made it much worse. It says that a county board shall grant this to any teacher that goes through the minimal training that's required of this. So they don't get to, so a student could be, a teacher could be first day on the job and sign up for this training, and all of a sudden they're able to carry a gun into the classroom.
The original bill said that counties could opt in or opt out, school boards of education.
It allowed the teachers that option if they go through the training. This said the county board has no choice. If the teacher asked for it, they have, no matter how long they've been a teacher. And one part that's very troubling about it, the parents have absolutely no knowledge of which teachers are going to be carrying and which teachers are going to have guns around their children.
Yeah, that bill is still in committee. A lot of these bills, these hot button bills, are still in committee,
out of the House and it's over in a Senate committee.
Right.
Hopefully, they have more sense than the House did, but I wouldn't bet on it.
Another one that's hotly contested are these school vaccine exemptions.
Yeah,
I mean, it started out where let's exempt some of the students that are in virtual classes, which I think even a lot of people thought made some sense. There was some sense to that because those people weren't involved with other students. But then amendments added other schools, micro schools and all the other school choice schools. And then a third amendment added anybody that wanted a religious exemption.
Yeah.
And I know that the head of the Kanawha County Health Department said you're either anti-vaccine or pro-disease. I mean, that was a pretty strong statement.
Yeah. I'm glad that at least one public health official had the courage to speak out. I'm still waiting to hear from our state officials and from our universities to speak up, because I know how they feel about it, same way I feel about it. We're moving backwards here. One thing West Virginia has done right over the years is our rules and our laws regarding childhood vaccines. And that's why you haven't heard of measles outbreaks happening here in West Virginia. You hear about it in neighboring states. And that's why we've been able to eradicate so many diseases that just crippled our society for years.
That was Delegate Mike Pushkin speaking with Randy Yowie about the end of the 2024 regular legislative session. You can hear the rest of that interview on our website and tune in every night at 6 p.m. to stay up to date. West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. You can keep up with the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from Shepherd University. West Virginia Morning is produced with help from Bill Lynch, Brianna Heaney, Chris Schultz, Curtis Tate, Emily Rice, Eric Douglas, Jack Walker, Liz McCormick, and Randy Yowie. Eric Douglas is our news director, and he produced today's show. I'm your host, Teresa Wills. This is West Virginia Morning.